In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and in Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined out into the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Light has come into the world, and that light that is the life of the world is the light of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His light has gone into the world, and that darkness that is in the world cannot extinguish the light. This is the message of God's light, the light of God's Word. This is also Palm Sunday, when we behold our King. The King, behold, He is riding on the foal of a donkey, on the colt, and He comes. And in a moment of time, people say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And in that one moment, the people saw it. In that one moment of time, the people rejoiced. The proper expression for the King, the proper expression of the King of Kings, the Lord of Light, going in. Crowned King, they lay the palm branches, they lay their clothes before Him, and He rides in humble on the foal of a donkey, riding in on the colt, fulfilling all the prophecies of Scripture. And He comes into that moment, and He walks into Jerusalem, and nothing. The leaders were against Him. The people were against Him. They turned against Him. And He walked out. The great climax of Palm Sunday ended with nothing. And Jesus said, you did not know the day of your visitation. And He pronounces judgment upon them. So there's a great expectation that we have when the light comes in the world. And there's a great disappointment that we have when the world rejects the light. When His own people reject the light. Last week we talked about how do we deal with this paradox, this conundrum of this great expectation that we have with what the light will do. And the great disappointment we have when the light doesn't do what we hoped it would do in the lives of the people who say they have it. How do we deal with our ideals not being met? And so we talked about that. We talked about our day of deconstruction or a falling away from the faith, an apostasy. We talked about many denying the Scriptures or sometimes just even denying that there's a problem. We talked about blaming. Talked about different responses of how we deal with this disappointment in our lives, in our family, in our church, in the church in general. And that often leads to some kind of a despair, maybe some disillusionment about, you know, just, I thought things would be different. I thought things would be a little different than they are. How should we respond to these things? And we're holding up 1 John as an answer, which I do believe it is the answer. This is the message. And it is the message of God's Word. So what do we do in times of despair? What do we do when times are discouraging? When it doesn't seem like the light of God's Word is having the effect that we had hoped? What do? We go back to the message. Let's go back to 1 John. Open your Bible to 1 John and let's read. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. So John is writing to confront the Gnostics, No, they touched him. This is the real deal. They were there. They touched him, the word that gives life. This life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness, and we declare to you, next generation, and all those who would believe in their testimony. So we, the apostles, who walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, now we are declaring to you that eternal life that was the eternal Son of God who was with the Father and was revealed to us. He was manifest to us for this purpose. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us. Purpose is that koinonia, fellowship, the Greek word koinonia, that which we share in common. So we share this in common. This brings us all together. That fellowship that we have, that we share with you, so that you can have fellowship in Christ. And having fellowship with Christ, you have fellowship with us. And surely our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So John is going to be very diligent to put the Father and the Son together as Jesus was. So you want to have God, you want to know God, you know God through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So you want to know God, you know God through Christ. It's the only way. So he's putting them together because they are together. This fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And when you have the Father, you have the Son, you have the fullness of joy. You have the purpose of life. You have eternal life. These things we write to you that your joy may be full. So he's giving them the fullness of joy, the fullness of their salvation, their experience in knowing Christ, so that you can know the Father. And when you know God, you know the fullness of joy. So how should we respond to disappointment? We have a Christian view of God and things. This is the message now that is declared to you. The word of life has come. The word of life brings this joy. And here is the message that brings that life. This is it. Verse 5, the announcement. This is the message. This is the gospel. The gospel message. And here it is. That which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light. This is the message. God is light. That's the message. God is perfect being, perfect holiness, perfect righteousness, perfect love, perfect goodness, perfect grace. Absolute, the most absolute perfect perfection that you can possibly even conceive in your mind. God is light. And just in case you missed it, the opposite is true as well. Because he is so perfect in his being, there is no darkness in him at all. You want to go to a place where there's perfection? You want to go to a place where there's only goodness and righteousness? You long for a place where there's purity and love? You want to go to a place where there's nothing shady or deceptive? I mean, let's face it, God can't even lie. It's God! This is the message that we declare to you. It's this. It's the perfection. It's the beauty. It's the glory of God. God is light. It's in my way. I have to come over here. God is light. And in him, there's no darkness. There's no shifting. There's no shadow of turning. There's no sleight of hand. There's no reason that has any reality to doubt any of the goodness or the righteousness or the perfections or the attributes or the beauty or the glory of God. This is it. God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. This is the message that we declare to you. This is the answer to the discouragement. God is light. This is the answer when you lose your way. God is light. This is the answer when you fall into sin. God is light. This is the answer when you don't know what to do or where to go or how to deal with hard situations. God is light. This is the answer. The answer is God. God is the answer. This is the message. Okay. How do we know that? So that's the metaphysical reality. God is creator, sustainer, maker, perfect being, God. Okay. I can see that. Now, but what good does that do me in my life? Or how do I know that? How do I know this reality of who God is? And that, my friend, is one of the most important questions you ask after you understand that God is light. And that's the next verse. The communication of this message that we declare to you is that the reality of this light is communicated in God's word. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 8:12. Everyone either walks in darkness or walks in light. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So you see here that the presence of God, the glory of God, is manifest in light. And so John now takes that reality of God's presence and he uses the word walk. And he has the whole world into two groups of people. Everybody's walking. Are you walking in the light of the reality of the knowledge of God? Or are you walking without the light of the knowledge of the reality of God? If you're walking, and there's only two options. You're either walking in God, which is light, or you're walking in the opposite. What is the opposite of light? Darkness. So you're walking in the light, or you're walking in the darkness. Now, this is the message we declare to you, that God is light. And so because God is light, those who are in God are walking in the light. Those who are not in God are walking in the darkness. So the answer to all our problems is to walk in the light, as he is in the light. But there's a problem, and the problem is darkness. So Jesus makes this very clear. Jesus had a lot to say about this, and since we're in 1 John, we have a lot of information in the Gospel of John. As Jesus said in John 8:12, again, I am the light of the world. And so you're going to see here from the text of Scripture, I will endeavor to show you that the light is God himself, and that light is communicated through Jesus Christ, the living word, and the light of God's word, the written word. So light is communicated through the living word, Christ himself, and inscripturated in the scriptures, the Bible. So we have these two means by which we access light, and that is through Christ and through his word. And Jesus will make that very clear to us in the Gospel of John. Jesus is clarifying in John 8:12 that he is the light of the world, and that those who follow him will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What does this analogy look like? We go to John 11, verse 9 and 10. John chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Jesus said, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." So he takes this bifurcation of the whole world, light and darkness, And the analogy of walking, which again, walking is an analogy for a course of life or a pattern of life. And that's going to be very important to remember as you're reading 1 John. Because in 1 John, he's going to be talking about a course of life or a pattern in life. You walk. So everyone has a course of life. They have a pattern of life. They have a lifestyle. And that lifestyle is either orienting around walking in light or walking in darkness. It's not, you know, in our sanctification, we can sin. But we can sin and still be walking in the light. We'll get into that in a minute. He's talking about a course or a pattern of life. So is your pattern of life where you're walking in the light, or are you walking without light and you're walking in darkness? Everyone is in one of two camps. And then Jesus, in John 11, he gives more information on this analogy where he says, you know, the problem with walking or the pattern in your life is there's things that are in your life, or in the analogy of walking, there's things that you run into. Makes sense. How many have tried to walk in the night without a flashlight? How many have tripped and fallen on something? How many of you try to walk around your house at night in the dark without turning the light on? How many of you lose your power? Lose your electricity, right? And what happens when you try, when you walk in the darkness, you stumble on things. You hit things and you fall. Ow! Ooh! Ah! Right? Happens all the time. That's the analogy he's using. How does that relate to our spiritual life? Well, there's stumbling blocks. There's sin. There's problems. There's trials. There's difficulty. There's hard people that you have to deal with. There's difficult circumstances and situations. When you're walking in the light, you can see those things for what they are, and you don't stumble in them. But when you're walking in the darkness, you just stumble and stumble and stumble in them. So he's saying you should walk in the day and not walk in the darkness. So this revelation that we have is light and darkness. And I said that I would prove to you that it is the word of God that's being referred to. And that would be Jesus using, because Jesus obviously used this analogy a lot in John's gospel. John uses a lot of light and love and light and life and truth. So let's look at John 12:46. Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 46, I have come as a light into the world. Okay, what does that mean? Well, he's going to define what that means. That whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. You see that right there? So what does it mean to embrace the light? It means that you believe in Jesus. Okay. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? You believe his word. So here, the light of Christ is synonymous with the word of God. And the next verse clarifies that. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So here's the light of the world. He comes into the world. He's the light of the world. Whoever believes in him will receive his light and walk in the light. But he who does not believe in him abides in darkness. If anyone hears his word and does not believe, he says, I'm not worried about judging him. Why? Because the scriptures will judge him. He who rejects me and does not receive my words. How do you reject Jesus? You don't believe what he says. That's how people reject Jesus. They do not believe what he says. They don't believe what he says about himself. They don't believe what he says about his Father. They don't believe his word. They do not believe what he says. And Jesus says when those who are in darkness hear my word but reject me, my word will judge him on the last day. So on the judgment day, the books will be open. And those who have had some light, they've had some truth presented to them about the beauty of God, the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, on that last day when they stand before God and God opens the book and judges them. And they will stand there, and what will happen is the light of God's truth will be presented. Remember when you heard the word of God and you rejected it? Remember when the word of God was presented to you and you said, I don't know that if I don't think I can believe that right now. And that will be presented on the last day, and that will judge you. And if you rejected Christ, Christ will reject you. And you will pay the penalty of your sin of rejecting God's word in eternal condemnation. Jesus says, I don't have to do that now. My word will do that, and it will do it on that final judgment day. So this is the way in which light functions in judging the world. Light exposes these things. We all love John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, that aspect of God sending Christ to love the world, you have to remember that the scripture already has judged the world. And that's the next verse in that John 3. Look at John, turn to John 3:19. And this is the condemnation. King James and New King James translates this word condemnation. In the context, it does fit. It's the word for judgment. So when we say this is the message to the world, this is the judgment. And that's what the text is communicating. This is the judgment. And here is the judgment. It's the judgment, or that which condemns the world, is that light has come into the world. Well, what does light do to the world? Light exposes the world. Light exposes the things that are causing people to stumble. Their pride, their lying, their cheating, the sexual immorality, wicked entertainment, all kind of evil. Light exposes that. It exposes people right where they are. And so the light has this function of exposing. If we turn the lights off in this auditorium, we wouldn't see as clearly. If we turned the lights on, what would happen? We would be able to see clearer. Why? Because the light exposes. It enables us to see. Without light, we can't see. We all know what this analogy means. Light exposes things. So it is that this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and the light reveals a problem. And the problem, John 3:19, is that men love darkness rather than light. See, men, all people, are not light. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. But people, not so much. See, people love darkness rather than light. And that's why they don't believe. Why do people have a hard time believing the gospel? Why do we have a hard time praying always? Why do we have a hard time relying completely on God? Why do we have a hard time coming to the light, confessing our sin? Why? Because we have a natural gravitation. People have a natural gravitational pull into darkness. That's why we must be born again to be saved. So there's a darkness. There's a hiding. The last place a person wants to be is in the light. Try to invite people to hear the gospel preached. Where do they want to go? Anywhere but here. Where do they want to go? Out the door. Can't wait till it's over. Why? Because they love darkness. They love darkness rather than light. The light exposes things. They expose things. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. It's like when you turn the light on, you've been asleep all night, it's 3 in the morning, and someone turns the light on. You're like, oh, I can't see, turn the light off. What are you doing trying to expose that, right? Get out of here. I'm comfortable in my sin. Why are you trying to expose my sin? Get out of here. Everyone practicing evil hates the light. Everyone practicing evil hates God. They don't want to come to the knowledge of God. Why? Lest his deeds should be exposed. Adam and Eve in the garden after they eat, where are they? What's the first thing they do? They hide. Adam, where are you? Hiding in guilt, in shame. I don't want to be exposed. What does sin do? Breaks relationship. Breaks relationship with God. Puts us in darkness. This is what darkness is all about. The good news is that light has come into the world. The bad news is men love darkness rather than light. And they are hiding in the darkness. Verse 21. But, remember, there's two groups, there's two camps. But he who does the truth comes to the light. He who believes in truth, he who allows the light of God's truth to expose his sin or her sin, comes to the light and does the truth, comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. That's what it means to be born again. This fits the John 3 text context because this is talking about what it means to be born again. The Spirit comes, regenerates you, gives you life. You believe the gospel. You receive the light of the glory of Christ. You receive the truth of the gospel. You believe that light comes in and then your deeds are done in God. And this, my friend, is what the message is all about. This is the message. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. The question for us is, that 1 John presents to us, is how will we respond? How will I respond? How will you respond? How will we respond as a church? And it also teaches us how to respond to those who are hypocrites, liars, and deceivers, deniers. Because you have all these different responses going on all the time. Kind of reminds you of Mark chapter 4, parable of the seed and the sower, doesn't it? This is very parable seed of the sower. The word goes out, there's different responses. So we have to accept that different response. And we accept that different response even among us. Because he's writing to the church, isn't he? This is to you. This is to the church. So within the church, there's going to be these different responses. Let's look at them. There's three. There's a hypocritical response. There's an authentic response. And then there's the deny response. Let's look at verse 6 where we see the hypocritical response. Response to God's light. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. One verse, very direct. If we say we have koinonia, so okay, this is someone who says, okay, I believe the message, I believe the light, I believe that God is light, so I say I believe Jesus. I say I believe the gospel. I say I share in the life of Christ together with you all. So if we say we have fellowship with him, but we do not do what we say, our life does not match our confession, then what do we do? Well, this is what I presented at the beginning. What happens when our expectations aren't met? What do we do? I suggest we go back to the message. We preach the gospel. Hey, this is the message. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. You know, there's people that will say they believe in God, but they don't walk in the light. There's a disconnect. What does John say these people are doing? He says that when that happens, two things. We lie and do not practice the truth. Now, he uses the word we, because this is what happens in the church. Because this is those who are confessing, we say, but we don't walk in that light. And John's like, no, that's a lie. You can't do that. You can't walk in the light and not walk in the light, right? God is light. In Him there's no darkness at all. If you walk in the light, then you're going to be walking in the light. If you're not walking in the light, then be honest. You're not walking in the light. And when you say you're walking in the light, but you're not actually walking in the light, guess who's lying? You're lying. The truth is, you're not practicing the truth. And that's what every hypocrite needs to hear. No, you're not. And if you think about the book of 1 John, this is the general message. So we're going to go from general to particular. So the rest of 1 John flushes this out, doesn't it? How can you say you love God when you don't love your brother? How can you say you love God when you can't love the person next to you? So he's going to give a lot of examples of what this looks like. And they're stark contrasts. And it's designed to get the person, the hypocrite, out of his hypocritical ways of walking in darkness and get in the light. No, that's a lie. You're not practicing the truth. Jesus had a lot to say about hypocrisy. Beware of the leaven, which is hypocrisy. Luke 12:1-3. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. That's in this world and in the next. So beware of the leaven of hypocrisy. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And what does the hypocrite think? The hypocrite thinks, no one will see me. I can live in the world and I can look like a Christian. No one will see me. My secret little sins. Jesus says, beware of the leaven of hypocrisy, because guess what? It's going to be exposed. Jesus works to expose hypocrisy in His time and in His way. You think you're in control? Guess what, buddy? You're not. Jesus will expose you in His time and in His way. And He tells us that. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear and the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And we could go story after story, fallen leader after fallen leader, leaders who say, well, I never thought it would happen to me. Beware of the leaven of hypocrisy. ESV translates this way in Matthew 23:1. Jesus said to the crowd, to His disciples, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So do and observe what they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach, but do not practice. Hypocrites. And He has a scathing rebuke against the Pharisees there. Hypocrites, liars. He says, okay, they sit in Moses' seat. So when the scribes and Pharisees read the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, that's it. They preach, but they do not practice. They're a bunch of hypocrites and liars. Don't listen to them. Don't do what they say. I share in the life of Jesus Christ. I'm just not living it out right now. No, you don't. You can't. You're lying. You're not practicing the truth. Many are made to stumble because of hypocritical responses to God's light. Many people are made to stumble. Why don't you want to be part of a church? Well, because they're all hypocrites. Mean like you? Well, I'm not part of a church. Do you believe in God? Yeah. I just don't want to go to church because there's hypocrites there. Well, Jesus said you're to love the church. So you can't escape that. The only way you can not be a hypocrite is run to Christ, walk after Christ. Because there's one person who's not a hypocrite, Jesus Christ. The only person who has zero hypocrisy is Christ. None. In him, there is no darkness at all. None. He does what he says. He says who he is. He has complete knowledge. He is zero hypocrite Christ. So for me, when I had my experiences with hypocritical Christians as I was growing up, and I got disillusioned and discouraged with that, when I started reading the Bible and realized that Jesus is the only true one who has zero hypocrisy, that led me not to rebel against the church or against the scripture. I'm like, no way, I'm running to Christ. He's the only one who's not, he's the real deal. And then all the people that seemed hypocritical to me, I had to realize something. There was one hypocrite who was the biggest of them all that I had to deal with first. And that was me. I had to take the log out of my own eye and not go around judging people, but confess my own hypocrisy and my own sin and take the log out of my own eye. Deal with my own hypocrisy first. Running to Christ. Running to Him. There are many made to stumble because of the hypocritical responses to God's light. There are many who think they're Christians, and they're not. Because they don't walk in the light. There's some here. You think you're Christians, but you're lying. You don't practice the truth. You don't pray. You don't meditate on Scripture. You're not following after God. You're not basing your life on Scripture. You talk about it, but you don't do it. That's hypocrisy. It's a lie. You don't practice the truth. What if some were unfaithful? Does their unfaithfulness nullify the faithfulness of God? And that's the problem with hypocrites. Because some people will be made to stumble because of their hypocrisy. Paul says, what if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? Romans 3:4. By no means. Let God be true, though every one were a liar. Their hypocrisy does not nullify the faithfulness of God. So I want to break through to you that you may have been influenced by hypocrites. But God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. He never lies. He always is truthful. Let God be true and every man a liar. Don't put the hypocrisy of others, even if they say they walk in the light, don't put the hypocrisy of others on God. That's not an accurate thing to do. Deal with the hypocrisy, especially in yourself. And if it's something that you're not that interested in, when you're exposed in your hypocrisy, then know and hear that you lie and you don't practice the truth. Okay. That's the hypocritical response. There's three responses to the light. The hypocritical response, and the next one is the authentic response. And that's the good response. That's those who hear the word and keep it and bear fruit. That which we have heard and seen, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message that we declared from Him, that we have heard from Him. And we declare to you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But, here's the contrast. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, Then we have fellowship with one another. That's the authentic response. When I use the word authentic, authentic means that which corresponds to the original. Authentic is that if I have an authentic dollar bill, well, that's a whole other story. But let's just say in contrast to counterfeit money, not Federal Reserve notes, which is counterfeit money, but let's say for the sake of argument it wasn't, authentic means it corresponds to the original versus a counterfeit. So when we correspond to the original, we have to have the original message, like the message that comes from God. And brothers and sisters, I believe this message I'm preaching is a message that comes from God. This isn't a message from me. This is a message from God. This is God's message for the world. So that's why we value preaching. You're coming to hear God's message, not Jason Young's message. God's message. This is the message we have from God, that God is light. And those who receive His light, what do? They walk in that light. You receive God's word. You walk in God's word, the light of the gospel. You receive God's truth. You walk in God's truth. You receive God's commandments. You keep God's commandments. That's all on the table. Light of Christ, the word of God. This is the message that we have heard from God. We declare to you. It's written down in Scripture, so we have it. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, something wonderful happens. We have fellowship with one another. That's the church. We have koinonia with one another. As we walk in the light, we share the light together. And we have koinonia with God. That is, we share the life of Christ because we embrace the light of Christ and we walk in the truth of God's word. And as we're walking in that light, His life is manifest in us, and we are all drawn together, all believers are drawn together, and we literally have fellowship. We literally have koinonia together. We are brought together into a oneness in Christ where we walk that out in our life together. Wow. This is glorious. Jesus said that they may be one as we are one. This is how we're made one. We walk in the light of His love. We walk in the light of His truth. We have this fellowship that is divine. This fellowship that we have from God. As we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So this is how it happens. We hear the gospel. We believe the gospel. We're regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We have a different spirit. Light has come into the world. And as we make decisions, we take each step. We take each step. We take each step in the light of God's word. So as we walk together, we find other believers. Kind of like Pilgrim's Progress. We're on this journey. And there's other people we bump into. Oh, wow. Yeah, I was in darkness and God opened my eyes. I now believe the gospel. I used to be a hypocrite. I now confess my hypocrisy. I used to be living for myself and selfish living and the lust of my eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. I thought I was all this about Jason Young. Now it's like, I don't want any of that. It's about God and His grace and His love for me. And now I'm walking in the light. And yeah, me too. Really? Because when I share this message to people, they're like, what are you talking about? But some people I share this, they're like, yeah, me too. You? It happened. Did that happen to you? How many people that say, yeah, that happened to me? I was living on my own, selfishly going my own way, and God came and He sought me and He bought me and He redirected my life. Like I think He saved me. How many people that happened to you? 1, 2, 3. Okay, more hands. 6, 7, 10, 15, 30. Okay, hands up. Keep your hand. Okay, so keep your hands up until they're tired. I'll keep mine up too. So, okay, here we are. We're walking in the light as He is in the light, right? Now, as we're walking in the light, what happens? You know what? Those things I used to do, don't do them anymore. Those things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Like, I used to find enjoyment in those sinful patterns of life. I don't want to do those anymore. Has that ever, how many people has that happened to you? Huh? Like, I used to get a kick. The dirty jokes, the bad stuff. I don't do that anymore. You too? Like that stuff you used to, you don't do anymore. You haven't got, and you know what? By God's grace, I don't even want to go back to it. And if I am tempted, I don't want to stay there. Right? Have you had that happen to you? Now, we're walking in the light. And as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And you know what? I just love to sing the praises of God. Huh? I love to get away and pray. Like, you know, that pray always thinks like, I love to pray. Like praying is like the power of God unleashed on earth, where we get to like to engage in this kingdom work and advance God's kingdom on earth, and we do it through prayer. Like, how cool is that? Like, the prayer closet is the place to go. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Like, I didn't care at all about praying like a few years ago, but now I'm like, so this is what it means. And the blood, and I love to be, I just like to go to church. I love to hear preaching, right? You see what I'm saying? Walk in the light as he is in the light. And as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, well, we're going to hit things that stumble, right? Ow. Ooh, that hurt. But we're in the light. So when we sin, does that break fellowship? Not when you keep walking in the light. This is the coolest part of this. Well, and because in 1 John, let's talk about assurance of salvation. Well, how in the world can I do 1 John and be saved? It's all about walking in the light. So I'm walking in the light, and there's something, a stumbling block. But if you keep walking in the light, you just sin, right? But if you keep walking in the light as your pattern of life, what do you do with sin? Yeah. That's 1 John 1:9. You agree with God. Whoa. Yeah. I confess my sin, which means I agree with God. I confess my sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. And to what? And to cleanse me. So even sin is used as an opportunity to further my fellowship with Christ. Even sin doesn't hold me back. Sin draws me closer to God. And what does the organic passage say in that verse? And the blood of Jesus Christ. What's the blood doing there? It's the atonement, right? So the gospel's in there. And you know, I'm walking in the light as he is in the light. What does light do? Light's exposing things in us, isn't it? So as I'm going, it's still exposing, and we're still being sanctified. Light is exposing things in me. So ow! Oh, yeah. I shouldn't have done that. I just sinned. I confess that, Lord, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So see, as I'm walking in the light, I am sinning, and I'm keeping being exposed. Have you ever run into that, David?
All the time.
Yeah, and the blood of Jesus.
Right.
So when I sin, I'm still drawing closer to Christ. You know what? Sometimes I don't feel like loving my brother. Sometimes I don't feel like loving my sister. Have you ever been there? And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. That's how you keep walking in the light, even though you sin. It's your pattern of life. It's your walk. That's why those verses are so important. Look at this. You see it? Do you see that walk now? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and nothing hinders that, because the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, is cleansing us when we bump into sin. When we sin. Sin doesn't keep that from happening. There is something that keeps that from happening, and it's the third response. The third response is the denial response. This does mess things up. And it's the denial response. It's verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, oops. Hey, that's not a sin. I know it looks like a sin. I know it feels like a sin. I know it acts like a sin, but that's not a sin. I am not sinning there. Stop getting in my business. Get out of here. Ooh. Sorry, dude. Like, I thought we were walking in the light, and he is in the light, and I just thought we could kind of like get together and walk in. Now you separate. And that's the bummer, right? That's the bummer. The person that denies their sin. Now we have a problem. And that does mess things up. It's called denial. And what does John say about that? He gives us the answer on that, and it's not pretty. When we say we have no sin, what happens? We deceive ourselves. How many have ever, no hands, how many have ever been there? Yeah, we deceive ourselves, okay? And that gets dangerous because if we say we have no sin, we walk away from the fellowship. The fellowship with Christ, the fellowship with one another. We walk out of that fellowship, okay? And we deceive ourselves, and here it is, and the truth is not in us. That's dangerous. So verse 9 comes in. The right response to sin is confess your sin, because God is faithful and just. Like, he's going to care for you. He's going to cleanse you. He's got a plan in this. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The problem is if we say that we have not sinned, we actually make him a liar. And we're back to the hypocrisy again. We make him a liar. To which we say, no, let God be true and every man a liar. We do have sin, and we're going to have to keep confessing sin. And the Word of God defines that sin. So we're going to have to keep confessing our sin because none of us are completely glorified into sinless perfection until heaven. So in this world, the best we do is we walk in the light as he is in the light, fellowship with one another, bump into sin. We don't stumble, though, because we're in the light. We confess our sins, and that is an opportunity for cleansing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome to victorious Christianity. This is the road we're called on. This is the eternal communion with Christ. This is the purpose of the church, to have that eternal communion with God where we're drinking from the rivers of his pleasure. We're drinking from his vast, glorious grace, and together with all the saints, we are experiencing his unbelievable forgiveness. That's the purpose of the message. Hypocrites don't get it, and deniers, they reject it. But the message believed, the authentic response, we get to walk with God. We get to walk with God. It's the highest calling. It's the highest purpose. We get to walk with God. John 3:21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. That's our testimony. Man, these deeds that I've done, these are the things that God has given me to do. I'm living the life of God. How many people can say, yeah, these are the things God's given me to do? This is the sanctifying work. These are the things that God's given us to do. This is the high calling. This is it. We're walking with God. So let us walk together. Let us walk together in the message.